So nice to have you with us on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Tomorrow on this program, of course, Wednesday, Politics Day, included on our docket tomorrow. Of course, we'll talk about the recent announcement that Hillary and Bill Clinton will be returning to Iowa, the indictment of Rick Perry, also the politics of unrest based on the experiences, the unrest we're seeing in Ferguson, Missouri. Hope you'll join us tomorrow on this program over the noon hour. Well, if you're a regular listener to River, you know that we've been talking with congressional candidates for upcoming midterm elections. And in what is a very rare political occurrence, you know that Iowa has three open congressional seats with no incumbents claiming the right to return to Washington to serve our state in those three cases. One of those open seats is for Iowa's 1st District. It's the northeast part of the state. It includes the cities of Waterloo, Cedar Falls, Dubuque, Marshalltown, Cedar Rapids, Marion, Decorah, a few of the cities up there. The seat is presently held by Democrat Bruce Braley. He's now running for Iowa's open U.S. Senate seat. And last week on this program, we spoke with the GOP's candidate for the 1st congressional seat, Rod Blum, a businessman from Dubuque. Today, we welcome Pat Murphy. He's the Democrats' candidate, a state representative from Dubuque. He's serving his 12th term in the Iowa House of Representatives, former Speaker of the Iowa House, as a matter of fact. Pat Murphy is in our Cedar Falls studio. Welcome to our program.
Well, thank you, Ben. It's nice to be here.
I want to reach out to our listeners. What are your questions for Pat Murphy, the candidate for Iowa's 1st congressional district? 1-866-780-9100. Email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk, or find Iowa Public Radio on Facebook to leave a comment or question. Let's, since we had last half hour talking about the Affordable Care Act, a great deal, let's start off with that, if we could, Representative Murphy. Some 30,000 Iowans are among the more than 8 million Americans who signed up for health insurance under the ACA, and yet a poll released last Friday echoes other polls showing Obamacare's unpopularity. This is a Kaiser Family Foundation healthcare tracking poll I'm referring to for July, revealing that 53% of people view the Affordable Care Act unfavorably, a jump of 8 percentage points since June, and views about the ACA remain sharply partisan, according to this and other polls. How do you explain this continued unpopularity?
I don't know how to explain it, but I think the big part is I think that what Americans want is for us to fix the program. Quite frankly, as you mentioned, there's 8 million people that are about 8.1 million people are dependent upon the Affordable Care Act, partially through Medicaid expansion, and then also through the private system where you can go onto the exchange and also be able to access internet or access health insurance through the exchange. So I think those are the things that we need to focus on, what we can do to improve the program, to increase access, to make it easier, and to also make sure that we have no glitches like we did last fall. I think those are the big things that people want to see improve. That's why it remains unpopular. I think, and that's what we should be focusing on. There's a number of things I think that most Americans do agree on. They agree that we shouldn't get rid of the first of all, make sure that we don't have people that can't get health insurance because of pre-existing conditions. Secondly, not being able to not cover a person when they become sick. And then I think the third piece that's very popular as well is allowing people while they're in college to keep health insurance up to age 26. A lot of insurance companies were not allowing that once children reached the age of adulthood at the age of 18. So I think those are a number of things that are good about the program. And I think the big part is making sure that people, one, can access it easily. Secondly, make sure that insurance is portable, which it is. But then along with that, making sure that we make sure that people understand how the program is available and accessible and how we can improve it.
There's much less talk now about repeal by Republicans. In fact, just in my experiences, last week I couldn't get the Republican candidate for Iowa's 2nd District, Dr. Marionette Miller Meeks, to say the word repeal when talking about Obamacare. Do you think most Republicans, are now willing to amend the ACA rather than insisting on trying to repeal it?
I'm not in the mind of Republican candidates that are running for Congress, but I will say this. I think this is probably similar to Medicare and Medicaid back in 1965 when Lyndon Johnson was able, in a similar position to what President Obama was, where he had a Democratic control of the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate, and something that had been on the Democratic platform for 20 years was the issue of being able to make sure that Americans had access to affordable health insurance. And that's what started the Medicare and Medicaid Act of 1965. This basically is that next step, which is making sure that health care is accessible to people that aren't poor or over the age of 65, which is what Medicare and Medicaid did. And more importantly, the Affordable Care Act tried to do it in a instead of having a government-run program, they put it out in the private sector and have these healthcare co-ops that people can sign up for. So I think the big part is it's becoming more and more accepted by most Americans, and they probably agree that if people are sick and they can't control the reasons why they're sick, that they should probably be able to have access to some form of health insurance. And if they can't afford insurance because they're too destitute, then they can get into the Medicaid or Medicaid expansion, which is what we did here in Iowa. So I think you'll probably see more talk about how we can improve the program. At least you are going to hear from Democrats. I think there's no question the rollout last fall needed to be improved. The website needed to be improved, and we need to make sure that we don't have the glitches or the problems that they did last fall so that people can get readily accessible to the access to have health care. So I think that's really the issue, and that's what you're going to hear Democrats talking about.
Pat Murphy is with us for the next 15 minutes or so, candidate for Iowa's 1st Congressional District. If you have a question, 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to the calls. Wally in Marshalltown is, wanting to raise an issue that I wanted to raise as well. What's your question, Wally?
Representative Murphy, you introduced a measure in the last legislature for a minimum wage. Would you explain that? I support you on that. That's a living wage. I think that needs to be explained.
Oh, well, thank you, Wally. The first thing, yes, he's correct. I did introduce a bill this past legislative session and had, probably 15 or 20 co-sponsors. And as what it would do is it very much mirrors what Senator Harkin introduced at the federal level. The current minimum wage is at $7.25 an hour. When I was Speaker of the House, we actually did the minimum wage here in the state of Iowa 2 years before the federal government did. But what we would do in the state of Iowa with the bill that I introduced is we'd move it from $7.25 to $8.25 the first year, the next year move it from $8.25 to $9.25, and then in the third year, 2016, on July 1st, you would move it to $10.10 an hour. And the reason that this is very important is I think the best example you can use is the food stamp program, or what's called the SNAP program, which allows people to, that because of their income and because they don't earn enough, they're available to get food stamps and they can get food in the stores. And is what ends up happening with that program is 28,000 Iowans are removed off the food stamp program because they would be able to be self-sufficient for their own families. And I think that's what most Democrats that are pushing this are talking about. It's the whole issue of making sure that if you do have a job, you play by the rules, you should be able to get ahead, and you should be able to provide for your own family without depending on government assistance. This program, if you were to move it from $7.25 to $10.10 an hour over the next 2.5 years, you would be able to move 28,000 Iowans off of food stamps. And so I think that's definitely the direction that I think most Iowans would like to see us move in. Mm-hmm. And it's been 7 years since we've raised the minimum wage in this state. So I think it's something that we should do now rather than later. So I support the minimum wage increase that Senator Harkin introduced, and I'm the lead sponsor of it here in Iowa on the House side. So I'm definitely in favor of it.
There's certainly polling across the nation showing support for it as well. A recent Pew Research Center survey showing nearly 3/4 of those polled are in favor of that raising of the minimum wage. And yet, Pat Murphy, public policy experts, some of them, fear some unintended consequences of raising the minimum wage, a loss of jobs, an increase in consumer prices. How do you answer them?
Well, you know, that's one of those things that I think can be very much argued, because I think one of the things that occurred in the last time when we looked at the minimum wage was the talk of the fact that you have Iowans that all of a sudden have more money. If I'm making minimum wage and I'm the father of 4 children, now they're growing, but if I was to use them as the example with young children, they would have more money to be able to go out and spend to buy shoes, to buy clothing, to buy more amenities, and also on top of those things, to better provide for their families. So the bottom line is it would create more spending in the economy, and it would turn around, and I actually think it would create more jobs in the retail sector because they would become much busier. So I think it's they'd be much more busier in the words of financial activity. So I think that's the most important part of this. And quite frankly, one of the things that I think we do need to keep a focus on is when we're talking about living the American dream, we need to make sure that people at the bottom end of the pay scale can provide for themselves and their families. I don't think it's beneficial for them when they're still on food stamps, they still have to get health care from the government because their employer doesn't provide it and because they don't make enough money. This would address people at the lower end of the pay scale, and I think it's well over time due to do this, so I would support raising it to $10.10 an hour.
Pat Murphy, let's talk for a moment about education. You work to expand preschool opportunities in the state as a state representative, as part of Iowa's legislature. You've talked about putting more money into funding Pell Grants or community colleges. Right now, if you look at our education system, what issues are the most pressing? One, two, three.
Wow. When you put it that way, I would say the universal preschool is huge because the benefits are so important to young children at a young age because of their cognitive abilities, and the more that they're exposed to it, the more they learn, the more activity that goes on in their brain. So universal preschool has been very good in this state. We spend about $60 million a year for 20,000 four-year-olds to have access to universal preschool. So I think that's very important. I think the science, the technology, the engineering, and the math are very important, especially it ties into what students are going to need going to community colleges, especially having the technology and the math and science, because when you look at advanced manufacturing, when you look at the technology skills, and you look at all the areas where we have growth potential, those are the areas that we need to focus on. So that is very important both in the junior high and high school years. But I think probably the single most important issue is still the job training and the access to higher education, whether it's Pell Grants or the job training dollars. Iowa right now has 80,000 jobs that are tied to the renewable fuel industry, whether it's wind, solar, ethanol, soy diesel. We also have the biorefinery plant in Emmitsburg, which is the next step. We're taking corn stover off the field. Instead of using corn, you're taking the corn stover off the field. You're using the sugars out of that to help create ethanol. Those are the things that I think we need to continue to keep a focus on. Plus, I would also remind Iowans, if you would have said 10 or 12 years ago, IBM, Google, Microsoft, and Facebook, you would have said, oh, those are companies that are located in the East Coast or the West Coast, or they're a worldwide company. Yet all of them have a very large participation rate here in the state of Iowa, primarily because we do have the education, the training. Along with that, we've created a sustainable economy with what we're looking at in wind turbines and what we're doing in solar energy to try to make a more sustainable community and cut down on our dependence on fossil fuels. So I think we've done a number of things to grow the economy, and we need to continue to expand that beyond Iowa to all 50 states, but create more opportunities here in Iowa so that it's a natural place where you can come, create jobs, have an opportunity for our young people to stay here, and to make sure that they get the education and the training they need in those young years so that they can go to a community college, have the skill sets they need to have those jobs. So those would probably be the three areas that I'd talk about the most.
Pat Murphy is with us for the next few minutes, candidate for Iowa's 1st Congressional District. Let's go to Christine in Waverly. I believe Christine has an education-related question.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. As a music educator, I agree of the importance of the STEM programs and everything, but it pains me to see that when school funding gets cut, music is always the first thing to go. I am a victim of that. My position got cut because I was a music educator, and I want to know what you would do to support funding for the fine arts to make sure that they are not the first thing to go and to get them included in the core curriculum.
Christine from Waverly, thank you.
That's a very good question. The core curriculum that's being set up at the state level is it was something that we started in the legislature while I was working on that when I was the minority leader and the speaker. But the core curriculum is huge because it's the basic standards that you want to use that you're going to have teachers across the state apply for those. And right now we've been heavily focused, and Christine's correct, on the math, science, all those areas that are the core parts of education. But there's no question that when you talk about universal preschool and you talk about the arts, you are talking about funding programs that are very important to brain activity. And quite frankly, having the arts as a part of that is an overall part of the education system. The worst part is, and I think it's a huge issue in Iowa, as you have school districts with declining enrollment, it is something that they have to make local decisions. And when they don't get the dollars that they need for allowable growth, that is something that the music and other programs get affected. And I think she has a very good point. It's more of a state issue, but we've went through two of the last 4 years where, Republicans that, Governor Branstad is the governor, and we've had Republicans controlling the House, that we've done 0% allowable growth on two of the last 4 years. There's no question that school districts then have to make decisions, and it means that they will have to make cuts. And unfortunately, that's part of what's played out in Iowa in some of these school districts where they have to start looking at eliminating programs. And in the humanities and the arts, that's not an area where we should cut. We need to make sure that children get a full, well-rounded education.
Well, you have to make some decision. Where should the cut be made, I guess?
Well, I think the first part that when you take a look at cuts, I think the first part you have to look at is you still need to make sure that you have an overall education system that provides uniform education to all children. But then you have to figure out where the areas are that you can cut. And quite frankly, that's something that if you talk to Democrats, we were pushing for 2% allowable growth during those 4 years. And two of those years when there was 0% allowable growth, Democrats were offering 2% because we believed that we needed to do something for schools. And we had a huge surplus, almost several hundred millions of dollars over our surplus over our ending balance that we have in reserve accounts. So there was no reason for this to occur. And Christine's correct. It shouldn't be cut. And in the situation the state was in, we shouldn't have been looking at cutting any programs or cutting money to, well, you'll run into Republicans who will argue it's not a cut because they got the same level of funding as they did the year before. But quite frankly, with the cost of inflation and with heating and other expenditures, it caused school districts and local school boards to make decisions that they shouldn't have had to make. And quite frankly, I wouldn't have agreed with the cuts because, quite frankly, we had the money there to fund those programs. It was just a decision that Republicans made not to do an allowable growth increase on K-12 education.
Okay, we have just 3 or 4 minutes left. I want to squeeze in two more issues for you to address. Pat Murphy, candidate for Iowa's 1st Congressional District. In your district, in the district you're running for, the 1st District, we have the counties of Allamaquee and Winnesheek, counties in the extreme northeastern part of the state. There are large deposits of silica sand, high demand for that now because it's used in the process of hydraulic fracturing. There are concerns raised about how that affects the environment, specifically water quality. Would you work to stop mining in that district?
I will tell you right now, I've said this to the people in the Allamaquee and Winnesheek County Protectors, I think that they made the right decision by doing a moratorium, and I would be opposed to frac sand mining or the mining of the silica sand in the Winnesheek or Allamaquee County areas. There's currently one mine being where they're taking the silica sand currently out of Clayton County. But I don't want us to turn into what Wisconsin has, where they have approximately 15 to 20 mines located over in western Wisconsin, just on the other side of the river from Clayton and Allamaquee. So I'm opposed to it on a number of bases. One, it does affect the pristine beauty that is located in northeastern Iowa. But secondly, I think we do have to take a long-term look at the whole issue that's going on here because, quite frankly, in Kansas, where they're doing some of this mining for gas and oil, one of the issues that's coming up is, and it's just been a discussion in the last few weeks, as to whether or not it's causing some of the tremors that they believe that are having earthquakes. But more importantly, I think the other issue is it's how we make our economy turn into jobs. Everybody's talking about this creating jobs, but I think the discussion we had earlier, focusing on solar, focusing on wind, making sure that we continue to expand our energy markets for ethanol, soy diesel, but along with those four, also looking at how we can make cars function more efficiently to cut down on our carbon emissions, and secondly, to cut down on our dependence on foreign oil. Those are the areas that we should be focused on in our economy to grow the economy, and those are the areas that we should be focused on versus trying to use a natural resource here that once we use it, it's gone. And so I support what Alan McKee and Winneshiek have done in regards to the moratorium, and I think that's the right direction to go.
Very quickly, before we have to go, just over a year ago last summer, the U.S. Senate passed a bill that was meant to overhaul immigration laws for the first time since 1986, creating a path for citizenship for millions of undocumented residents, and also ratcheting up security along the Mexican border. This sweeping legislation passed bipartisan with 14 Republican votes in the Senate. You support creating a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants in the U.S. What would that path look like? Something like in the Senate bill?
I think it would be similar to the Senate bill. I think, first of all, you have to create opportunities, one, for children that were brought here by their parents and they're undocumented. They're referred to as dreamers. We need to make sure that they have opportunities for educational opportunities in this country. I think more importantly, though, we need to make sure that we set up a pathway to citizenship. Not to argue with Congressman King, but there is no way that I can see that this state is going to move 13 million undocumented workers back to the countries they came from. We saw what went on in Postville in this district back in 6 or 8 years ago. We spent approximately, I think it was $230,000 for each person that we deported from the Postville plant. Plus, we have to make sure that if we're going to address immigration, we need to also go after employers who knowingly bring people here and try to violate the law. We're ignoring that portion of it. And the last piece of it needs to be
quickly.
Quickly, I'll just say, we need to make sure that we take care of the children that are coming up here. They're not from Mexico. They're coming from further south. Okay. We need to make sure that when we're talking about these children, we need to treat them like they're our children or our grandchildren. If they're going to be refugees, which several of them are going to be, we need to make sure that we have we take care of them and we create a pathway for citizenship and set up education for them so they don't become the same problem that we're currently having in the Middle East, that they'll be a terrorist a generation from now.
Pat Murphy, something tells me growing up at the ninth of 10 children in your family, you were good at getting a word in edgewise there at the dinner
That's
table.
That's true. And an elbow, too.
Candidate for Iowa's 1st Congressional District, thanks for coming into our Cedar Falls studio.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Lindsay Moon produced this program. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.
Coming up next here and now from NPR.